show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, the 99 Restaurants, Zing Zang Cocktail in a Can, Winwaste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think it's a continued reflection of John Henry and Tom Werner, Mike Gordon, the Fenway Sports Group's ownership. Very consistent over 21 years, which is investing in all areas of the operation. If you look at our track record, it is a little bit boggling, mind-boggling, when you hear a narrative that the team doesn't spend or there's not a willingness to spend, when we've always been at the top in Major League Baseball.
All right, this is where we're going to start. Tonight on the Baseball Hour, Red Sox played this afternoon, by the way. They beat the Orioles, I believe, 5-3 was the final score. Again, not that you really need to know that or you care because the games are irrelevant. Nathan Eovaldi pitched in that game, but they did play this afternoon. But the comment you just heard there was Sam Kennedy, a Red Sox president who did a podcast with Chris Cotillo of Mass Live. We've had Chris on the show. I'd like to have him on more in the future, Jimmy. We should have Chris Cotillo on more frequently. I feel like Chris has got a good grasp of what the hell's going on over there, keeps his finger on the pulse. But that comment from Sam Kennedy, you heard him say there, I think ownership is very consistent over the years with how much they've poured into the team. Okay, now it doesn't mean the team on the field is consistent. He means with how much they've invested in the team and in the baseball operation that they have been very consistent. Do you agree with that, Jim Murray?
That they've been consistent?
In terms of what they've invested in the operation, that this ownership group has been consistent over the 20, 21 years that they've been here, that, whether it's player, the ballpark, the roster, analytics. That
no, because it's not what it was 10, 15 years ago. And for them to be referred to as one of the still top spending teams in baseball, especially this year, is... You got to put an asterisk on that because there's money tied up in guys like David Price and these players that aren't even here anymore.
Okay, that's always been true, though. They've always had dead money on the books.
But I don't feel like the investment into the team these last few years has been what it's been in the past.
Jimmy, what about you? Do you feel like that comment by Sam Kennedy is true?
So I think that they have financially spent probably top five in baseball the last 20, 22 years in this ownership group. And I think that they have put in the resources. They've just picked some of the wrong players and they've had to sacrifice elsewhere to do it. But I think that they're fully invested financially, making improvements to the ballpark. I think they are, yes.
Okay, so again, emotionally invested is something different, right? I'm talking about the money. The money. Because Jared Karabas was here last night and I said to him, I think they're going to spend on this team this offseason, Jared. And he said, really? Is that informed? Do you remember the exchange I had with him, Jimmy Stewart? He said at one point, is that informed or is that just speculation? And I said, well, it's not really informed, but I know like how they operate. And I'm with Jimmy Stewart, Murray. I think financially, they have been consistent. They put money into the team pretty much every year. Now, again, doesn't mean every year is exactly the same. But over the 20 years that they've been owners of this team, and this is going to sound like me defending the Red Sox, and I'm really not, but I'll tell you in a minute. The idea that they are quote-unquote cheap is wrong. It's always been wrong. And I found it interesting that Sam Kennedy would say it is a little mind-boggling. They usually don't address it like that, and they did. And I think, now again, here's the mistake, and Jimmy Stewart's right. How they've spent is a different matter entirely. So they've made a lot of colossal mistakes. And if you wanted to tell me that, well, they don't want to spend on the big contract now. True. 100% true. So legit criticism. Now, can you rebuild this roster? Can you get star players? Can you build a championship team without those kinds of players? I don't know. They did it in 2013, I guess. I'd have to go back and look at that roster and see who was on it because they didn't have a lot of superstar caliber players on that roster, at least on any mega deals. And maybe that's what's polluting the whole argument. or poisoning the well when it comes to the Red Sox, because I think they're at a spot now where they have to spend. Have to. So, but in 2018, well, they signed David Price for 7 years and $217 million. It was the biggest contract they ever had. In 04 and 07, Manny Ramirez was on the roster. Biggest contract they ever had. Up to that time. So the question is, what kind of contract will they sign? Now, look, Sam Kennedy's comment, I cut it off there short. We're going to play a longer version for you right now. And I want to ask all of you, just sit tight for a second while I play this. Because there's some stuff I agree with Sam on. There's other stuff I don't. And I say this as a disclaimer. I love Sam Kennedy. He's a wonderful guy. Doesn't mean I agree with him on everything. But, Jimmy, let's play it from the beginning, if you would. This is Sam when asked a question by Chris Cotillo, again, about the overall spending as it pertains to ownership. Go ahead.
I think it's a continued reflection of John Henry and Tom Werner, Mike Gordon, the Fenway Sports Group's ownership, very consistent over 21 years, which is investing in all areas of the operation. If you look at our track record, it is a little bit boggling, mind-boggling, when you hear a narrative that, you know, the team doesn't spend or there's, you know, not a willingness to spend, when we've, you know, we've always been at the top in Major League Baseball.
Let's stop there, Jimmy. That's the cut we played for you at the top of the show. He's right. They have been among the highest spending teams in baseball consistently for 20 years. They have. That's a fact. And if you don't believe me, you can look up the payroll numbers. So listen, I'm willing to argue just about anything with you. Okay, but that one's kind of stupid. I think it's lazy when people say that they're cheap. In fact, they might be better off saying that they didn't spend money on some of the teams they did. Because when you spend $240 million and you get a team like this, you look dumber. You really do. You spent that much money and you still can't finish any better than last? That's a bad look. That's about decision-making. Let's continue, Jimmy.
I think that narrative, I think that's our fault because we're not in first place. We're not competing for a playoff spot right now. But I think that narrative would be very different if we were executing and we were delivering. We certainly didn't hear a lot of talk about, you know, what our payroll was in 2021, right?
Right.
I hate to say it and to oversimplify things, but it's a zero sum game. I mean, we get it. If you're successful and you're doing the right things and executing in all facets of the game and you're playing baseball in October, there's no discussion about commitment to payroll right. Or investing. When you're at the bottom of the American League East, that you open yourself up and you expose yourself to all these types of questions. What we're going to do is what we've always done here.
Jimmy, let's stop quickly. I still think he's right. Everything up to here I agree with. And that is to say that a year ago, were we bitching about the kind of money that they would spend? I was bitching about the kinds of deals they made at the deadline, which related to the sort of prospects that they wanted to give up. Maybe they wanted to stay under the luxury tax. So yes, from that standpoint, sure. But cheap? No. No, keep going, Jimmy.
To doing everything in our power to trying to field a team that is worthy of the best fan base in all baseball support and honor that commitment. That's what we've tried to do. We've not been there this year, but we're going to do everything we can to get back there next year. And I think it's possible.
Okay. Yeah, let's stop there, Jimmy. We're going to do everything we can to get there next year. And I think it's possible. So this is where I think the rubber's going to meet the road with the Red Sox. Okay. Do I think it's possible they could be back in contention next year? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, I do. They got a ton of money to spend. If they can keep the right people from this current roster and build around them, they have a good manager. They should be right back in the middle of it. They absolutely should be right back in the middle of it. Now, we'll do everything we can. Well, that's where I wonder where, you know, whether the Red Sox are really committed. If you've got to spend $300 million to get Aaron Judge here, are you going to do it? Because I'm not sure they will. So again, it's the kind of contract that they sign. That's where the rubber's going to meet the road with the Red Sox. That's what we're going to find out. So do they spend money in the product? Yes. Yes, indisputably. This the payroll this year is like $240 million. So the thing that cracks me up, and again, I've argued with Dan Shaughnessy of the Globe about this a million times, and I got a lot of respect for Dan. I like to think it comes back the same way, but when you say they're cheap, it's wrong. It's just flat out wrong. They're not cheap. Cheap means they spend less than what everyone else does. They don't. They spend more, and they have for 20 years. But are they willing to go the extra mile and take the risk to get a star player here? Are they willing to do that and extend themselves out on a ledge? I think this offseason, they don't have a choice. Now, I don't know how that's going to manifest itself. And at the end of the day, you know what? You don't really care either as long as they win. So if they win, you'll put up with anything and you'll say they made smart moves. And when I say win, I mean win championships. I just have yet to see a team win a championship, really, or at least consistently, you know, contend for titles and win their share without investing in the high, you know, the big salaried superstar player. Haven't seen it. I think it's really, really hard to do in baseball. I think it's impossible because I think the Red Sox, I think the regular season and the postseason, two different things entirely. So that's where I want to start tonight. And I want to get to Aaron Judge and his 61st home run. I saw this great thing today that was sent to me by the people at Bovada, you know, which provides gambling odds. It was a Twitter map of where the support was for the MVP candidates in the American League, Aaron Judge and Shohei Ohtani. Now, if you're asking me, the MVP race is a runaway. It should be unanimous. Probably won't be because nothing is ever unanimous. But Aaron Judge versus Shohei Ohtani, which areas of the country supported what player? The overwhelming level of support was for Aaron Judge. Before I tell you where Boston ranked or New England ranked, let me just say this. You should be embarrassed and ashamed of yourself for how this reflected on you. You really should. You should be embarrassed. We'll do that when we come back in the Baseball Hour.
The Baseball Hour with Tony Maz continues after these on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Well, it's certainly been a disappointing season on all levels. And, you know, at the end of the day, leadership of the organization is to blame, and we're accountable for that. Just the fact that we came into spring training following a season where we were two games from going to the World Series. We were aggressive in the offseason, adding a player of the caliber like Trevor Story, stepping up big in free agency. Really felt we had great momentum.
Again, that's Sam Kennedy. We cut it off a little abruptly there, or I should say I cut it off a little abruptly there. Now, a couple things. When Sam Kennedy says, well, it's on ownership and upper management, if we have a bad year. Like, I mean, I only believe that to a degree. He's playing politics there, which I get. I'm not dumping on him for it. I'd rather have that than someone who, you know, tries to dump the blame on someone else. But you also have to believe it for it to matter. So you have to sit there and go, no, we effed up. We effed up. We have to change the way we're doing things because it's not working. And I don't know if the Red Sox fully believe that. I hope they do. And I would disagree with Sam when he says, you know, we had an aggressive offseason. We brought in Trevor Story. I don't think they had an aggressive offseason. I think they had a very passive offseason. And Trevor Story was after the lockout. I felt like they they responded to the grumbling that was going on in their clubhouse and among their fan base, because after the lockout, teams were snapping up players all over the place, and the Red Sox did zilch, zero. So they went out and got Story. There are different kinds of things flying around out there about what was really behind the Story signing, and it doesn't feel like a Chaim Bloom kind of move. And so the idea that Story was brought in as leverage for Bogarts, maybe. Maybe that was their logic. But I would also tell you that Story better be able to play shortstop then. I'm not sure he has the arm for it. So just keep an eye on Trevor Story as we get to the final days of the season. And I don't mean whether or not he plays. I mean specifically in the aftermath of the season. Because if he's going to play shortstop, I think he's going to have some work done on that elbow. That's my guess. His arm's not the same. We read you some stats last night from a good story in MLB, MLB.com rather, highlighting how much Story's arm has weakened over the last couple of years. He doesn't throw hard for a second baseman now, let alone a shortstop. Okay, so just something to consider. I want to get to your calls, and then I want to get to Aaron Judge as well, but we'll do all of that tonight on the Baseball Hour. We will kick it off with our buddy Anthony on the Cape. Go ahead, Anthony. What do you got?
Yeah, Tony, I mean, what you're really talking about is feeding the monster. And what happens is with this team, this roller coaster, every time this team faces adversity, ownership sticks their nose where it doesn't belong in baseball ops, and they're pandering to the fan base and the media that's crying. And what happens is that, so it puts a Band-Aid on the problem. What you need is a really strong farm system, and that's why I'm a Bloom guy, because I want to fix this thing for the long term, Tony.
Me too.
I don't want to keep putting Band-Aids on every few years, winning a World Series and going back to the basement. I'm sick of it.
Okay,
I am
too.
Sick of that, Tony.
Well, Anthony, listen, I don't either, but now you have to face two realities. Number one, you're going to finish last this year, and they are a business. The fan base is not going to react kindly if that happens again next year. Okay, you're going to lose fans. And secondly, how has Bloom done rebuilding the system?
I think he's done an excellent job rebuilding the system. Listen, Tony, I'm not going to defend what he did this year for the Major League roster. It's indefensible, okay? I'm not going to do it. And you talk about Schwarber and Renfro. You add those guys to this team because guess what? It's not just pitching, Tony. This offense, the lie. I want to dispel the lies from everybody like O'Brien and Youkilis and the fan base that thinks everything's just fine except the pitching. No, the offense has sucked all year. Situational hitting, clutch hitting. The defense is sloppy. The base running is atrocious. This whole operation sucks right now, and they better not overreact and do anything stupid this offseason and feed the monster.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Yeah, so Anthony, I'm going to let you go because two things. One, overall, I agree with you. I don't want anything stupid either. They can't have another bad year next year. They lost a lot of people this year. Television ratings plummeted. And look, the game isn't what it was nationally anyway. Okay, so that's part of the problem. But they were in game six of the LCS a year ago. By May 1st, anyone that they had gained from that was gone, and then some. They lost some people on top of it. And I disagree with you that Bloom has done a, quote, excellent job on the farm system. He's made some good moves. But I don't think you can ignore what they got or didn't get for Mookie Betts, Andrew Benintendi, and Hunter Renfro. So I know you said, you know, and again, I'm not picking on you, but I know you said, well, you know, I'm not going to defend what he did for the major league team. Renfro was dealt with the idea of helping the future. Okay, you brought in Bradley, but you also got two prospects. David Hamilton runs fast, but he feels like a utility guy. Alex Benellis, I haven't checked recently. I don't know, maybe one of you guys could look up what Alex Benellis hit at AA Portland this year, where he finished. That hasn't panned out. They got killed on the Mookie Betts deal, and Josh Winkowski doesn't look like any sort of great find. I'd even go so far as to tell you Nick Pivetta and Connor Seabold, they got those guys a couple of years ago. They're okay. Pivetta's okay. Seabold gets killed every time. So part of what, every time he comes to the big leagues, part of Bloom's organization building was also those trades. Guys like Winkowski, Seabold, those guys were supposed to help. They haven't. He missed on a lot of those guys. So it hasn't gone quite the way it was supposed to. And Marcelo Mayer, great. We all love that. He got him with the fourth pick. They got that pick because they finished last. Tristan Casas in the organization before Bloom got here. I'm not telling you Bloom has been a complete, total disaster. But I'm not going to use the word excellent with the job he's done with the farm system. Martin's in Texas. Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, Tony. I just wanted to bring up a point we talked about earlier this week. Brian Mata is going to make his debut in Toronto this weekend. I thought that'd be pretty interesting and fun to watch. You know, even when we're not doing so hot, I love to watch the team when they bring up those guys. And Costas is second in the league since he started playing in OPS, and he's second in the league in chase rate. And the only one ahead of him in both of those is Aaron Judge. I just thought that would be an interesting point to talk about as well.
Yeah, Martin, there's no way he's second in OPS in the league since he got here. There's no way. I mean, his OPS was, what, 700, 600 before the last couple of days? And it's not up way up there now either. I'll tell you what his OPS is because I think you're wrong. Now, chase rate, I don't know, maybe he meant take rate, or he doesn't chase a lot. I agree, he doesn't chase a lot. So he's good at that. He takes too many pitches. I do think you've seen some improvement with Casas in the last week or so. So I'll give him that. But there's no way, you know, again, let's not go comparing him to Aaron Judge. I just think that frankly, I think it's ridiculous. What else did he say? I don't remember the rest of the call. So I forget. Oh, Mata, Brian Mata over the weekend. I'm eager to see it too. And now we have our answer. Why wasn't he here earlier? Because they didn't want to pitch him when the game still counted. They wanted to, you know, quote unquote, honor the integrity of the schedule, as many teams would often do at this stage of the season. Play it out. You know, Baltimore has something to play for, so you're going to play it out. But now that you're out of it and they get eliminated a few days ago, let's pitch Mata in Toronto and see what he's got. I know this, he's still not throwing enough strikes, which was a huge problem on this staff. Tom's in Northbridge. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to say, I learned a ton from your show. I've used stupid with a purpose a couple times today alone. The thing that I want to run by you and see what you think is, I think that Cora and Bloom are on the same page as far as the money that they want to spend, but I feel like Cora wants to get four quarters where Bloom wants to get 100 pennies. And I understand that they beat their chest all the time with how much money they spend, and they do spend money in the right places at certain times. But I feel like Bloom just wants to more so say, I spent the money, versus spending the money on the correct prospects or on the correct players. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so Tom, look, at the end of the day, it comes down to long term. They don't want to commit long term. And in some ways, can you blame them? They signed David Price long term. They're still paying him. That expires at the end of this year. Chris Sale, stupid contract. They should have never re-signed him to that extension. They did. $25 million a year. He hasn't pitched for him in what? Really? I mean, he pitched in the second half of last year a little bit, but the real Chris Sale hasn't pitched for him in about 4 years. So some of those contracts do. They come back to bite you in the ass. And I'll tell you the same thing now. That if they go out there and they sign, like I say, Edwin Diaz. Okay, he's the guy I want them to start with. The closer for the Mets. Let's say they sign Edwin Diaz to some ridiculous deal because they're going to have to do it to get him out of New York. 5 years and $100 million for a closer, which is preposterous. A lot of that money will burn. It will. It'll burn. But you don't have a choice because you got yourself into this spot. So now you've got money to spend. You might as well spend it. So, you know, you got to get some players in here. Because they don't have enough in the minor leagues to compete in this division with the field of teams that's in there now. And Baltimore is not coming. Baltimore's here, along with the others. What are you going to do, finish last again? I want to continue with your calls on the spending. Because, again, my issue isn't with the dollars the Red Sox spend. They're spending almost $250 million on their payroll. It should be enough. The problem is they haven't spent it well. So if you're going to question what they do, that's, I encourage it. But question their decision-making. Don't question the fact that they'll put their hands in their pockets. Now, you want to tell me they're not paying enough attention, they're valuing the wrong things, they're doing a poor job of evaluating players, or et cetera, fine. No problem. Have at it. I'm with you. It's just not about the total dollars. The total dollars are there. Again, which in some ways makes it worse. Aaron Judge, home run number 61. It's a good moment in baseball. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. I know I did. I saw something again this morning. Showed up in my inbox about a Twitter map. I'll explain to you what that is and how it reflects poorly on the people of Boston and the people of New England when we come back on the baseball.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Throw deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Well, Aaron Judge finally did it last night, number 61. Still hasn't broken the record. Got to get to 62 to do that in the American League anyway. My guess is he'll do it. Too good a player to not do it. Which brings me to this just quickly, and again, I'll get back to your phone calls. For those who believe in the WAR stat, you know, wins above replacement, Aaron Judge ranks number one in the American League in WAR. In fact, he ranks number one in the major leagues in WAR. So, and by a wide margin. I mean, much higher than anybody else. And just to give you an idea, Shohei Ohtani, trying to find Shohei Ohtani's offensive number when it comes to WAR. Can't find it in front of me. I'll see if I can find it for Ohtani. With regard to pitching, obviously Judge doesn't pitch. Ohtani's number as a pitcher is 5.4. Okay, so again, now Ohtani is maybe the single most entertaining talent in the game, maybe the single best talent in the game. He's not the MVP. Okay, the MVP is, to me, most valuable to his team. Been a lot of different interpretations of that definition over the years. But to me, it's always been a guy who does it for his team, who means, you know, who does it for a team that's in contention, is what I should say. It was a horrible way to phrase that. The who does it for a team that's in contention. So I got this email today, and I said earlier it was from Bovada. It's not. It's from Bet Online. It's what they call a Twitter map, which tracks tweets from all over the country, okay, based on geotagged Twitter data. And it, like an election map, how it shows the red states and the blue states. Well, this shows gray and red. Gray is for Judge. Red is for Ohtani. Aaron Judge has almost all of America, save for a couple of areas. The West, and I would say Northwest. Okay, meaning Washington State, Oregon, California. Makes perfect sense. Ohtani plays in Anaheim. Huge Asian populations out there. Also, those the Mariners are in the division. The A's are in the division. You get the idea. People who see Ohtani on a regular basis. Judge basically has the rest of the country, except for a couple of areas. One is Arkansas, and Murray, you're going to have to help me. What's next to Arkansas? Is it Alabama or is it Mississippi? I get them mixed up because they're sort of mirror images of each other. You know, one is like, you know.
I mean, I'll pull up a map. I don't know if it's
okay. Well, one of those two states down there that touches Louisiana, in addition to Arkansas, okay? And you know what the only other area in the country is that doesn't believe Aaron Judge is the MVP? New England. New England. And I would say, you should be ashamed of yourself. You really should. This guy is so clearly the most valuable player in the American League this year that it's really not even worth debating. And the fact that New England didn't vote for him or doesn't believe he should be because he's a Yankee is a joke. It's embarrassing. How many times over the years have you heard people say Red Sox fans are among the most knowledgeable in baseball, or that Boston fans are among the most knowledgeable in sports? And what, you couldn't bring yourselves to vote for Aaron Judge or to believe that Aaron Judge should be the MVP because he plays for the Yankees? That's pretty sad. And this is also from the fan base that got all pissed off 20-some-odd years ago when a New York writer didn't vote for Pedro Martinez as the league MVP over Pudge Rodriguez. It was bad form then, and it's bad form now. I saw this, and it really kind of, it just made me sort of say, oh, that's pathetic, really. It really is kind of pathetic that New Englanders don't believe Aaron Judge is the MVP because he's a Yankee. What other possible explanation is there? Again, on the West Coast, where Ohtani plays, he got support, which makes sense. They see him more out there. Aaron Judge plays on the East Coast and the Northeast, but New England's for Ohtani? That's really, it's funny, but it's pathetic, really. Okay, let's get back to your phone calls. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Dean's in Shrewsbury. Dean, go ahead.
We finally solved the first base issue. I see Cassis as somebody who could walk 100 times a year and maybe get like 25 or 30 home runs. But I was wondering, is the reason we didn't, and he plays good defense, is the reason we didn't bring him up earlier because of arbitration issues? Like, we would have lost a year of arbitration, because that's awful if we left the hole there just because of that.
No, Dean, I don't think that's it. I think he wasn't ready at the beginning of the year. Most of us didn't feel he was ready. Then he had an injury at AAA. So he had very few at-bats at AAA. They're very deliberate about the process. And as good as Casas has been over the last week, and he's played better over the last week, what I would tell you all is don't think he can hit third next year, but he can't, because he can't. So again, have we solved the first base problem? For the long term, yes. And I would say defensively, Casas certainly could have helped you early in the year. But he's not ready to be a centerpiece guy yet. I wouldn't put that on him just yet. I hope the Red Sox don't either. Frank on the Red Sox spending. Go ahead, Frank.
Yeah, so I agree the Red Sox are not cheap, but they're no longer big spenders. Spending is a relative game. It's not an absolute game. So when they used to be in the top three spenders, they were always very close to number one or number two if they weren't number one. Now they're no longer in the top three, and more importantly, they're far away from what their peers are spending, which is what's important. The Mets are spending $90 million more than them on their roster, and the Dodgers committed $80 million more than them on their roster before Bauer got booted. So that's 30% more than the Sox.
How about the Yankees, Frank?
Okay, but I just gave you a giant gap.
I know, but those teams, hold on. No. Those teams aren't in the division. They don't compete with them. And I'm not telling you I like it. Okay, so let me make that clear. Your point about the overall number is fair. What do the Yankees spend?
Yankees, I think, are 30 to 40 million more on the roster. So just bear with me a second.
Okay, what about the Rays?
The tax number has not moved up commensurate with teams' abilities to spend, right? It's somewhat artificial. So the luxury tax was $75 million. Everybody could say they were spending through it, but it wouldn't make them big spenders. You really need to judge the Sox versus their peer set.
Frank, do you believe the Red Sox spend enough money to win?
They spend enough money to win 90-ish games.
No, they spend enough money to win more than 90 games. So again, the Yankees and the Red Sox, comparable payrolls. I'll find what the Yankees number is quickly, and we can get to it. The gap with the Yankees is not big. It's comparable. So how are the Yankees able to win spending that money and the Red Sox aren't? How is it that it works that way? Because again, so this is, to me, you're missing the issue. And the part that drives me crazy about it is that you're missing what the source of the problem is. It's not the dollars they're spending, it's how they're spending it. And as long as you keep harping on the dollars, they can sign a bunch of crappy contracts to satisfy the amount of money they're spending, but the team won't get any better. This is the part that drives me bananas. You can keep spending. Go ahead, spend $300 million. You'll still suck if you spend it on the wrong players. That's what the issue is. It's not that they're not spending enough. They're spending on crappy players. Greg's in New York. Ed, Greg.
Hey, Tony. I heard that clip of Sam Kennedy about their off-season last year. It was so disingenuous. It's like, who's his audience when he says that crap? You know, and as far as, Chaim Bloom, he's done a terrible job. That how do you stick with players like, I'm losing my thought, train of thought. They had the three position players that had no business being in the majors last year, and they stuck with them for so long. It's just, and the pitching staff and trying to dumpster dive all the time. It's like, it's just, I feel like the whole thing is just, it's going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, and look, and again, it's because it is. It is going in the wrong direction. You're not wrong to feel that way. So I know I got all irritated with Frank. I'm just telling you, Frank, they're spending enough to win. They're spending enough to win. Okay? So, yes, the Mets and the Dodgers have extraordinary payrolls. Extraordinary. The Dodgers are an all-star team. And they have a great farm system. Their payroll is going to come down. It'll come down. Because they can replace some of the guys they have with young guys who don't make a lot of money. And the Mets? Well, the Mets haven't won in forever. So their owner is, doing what the Red Sox did at the beginning here. I'll allow for that. They probably don't care as much as they used to, which is another thing I disagree with Sam Kennedy on. And I know it's one of the things he said in the podcast. They want to win now as much as they did 20 years ago. No, they don't. No, they don't, because they have other interests. And in fact, I would say neither do you. You don't want to win as much. And I'm talking about the fans now. You don't want to win as much as you did 20 years ago either, because you get four titles under your belt. When you won in 04, you hadn't won in 86 years. Now, it's only been a few. It's been 4 years. That's not much suffering. You can tolerate that. But 86, you wanted it badly then. So nobody wants it as much as they did back in 04. How could you? It's not apples to apples. They're spending plenty enough to win. They're just building bad teams. I mean, to me, that it's really that simple. We'll wrap it up with your calls when we come back.
Stay tuned for more of the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now more baseball and more Mets.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I was just telling Jim Murray, I don't know why I get so agitated when someone says, well, no, the Red Sox actually aren't spending as much as they used to, which, again, is probably true. I mean, relative to what the Yankees and Dodgers and Mets spend. So, it's not as simple as that when they spend it on bad contracts. That's my only point. I almost feel like it lets them off the hook or something. Okay, well, just spend more money. Go sign some suck bag for $30 million a year, and that fixes it. And it doesn't. Now, again, they need to they're risk averse when it comes to they're chicken when it comes to those big contracts. You can't be chicken and win World Series. This doesn't work that way. Quickly, Skip in Illinois. Go ahead, Skip.
Well, Tony, I think that you say chicken. I think that's right. I think Bloom has decided that deeper pockets means instead of spending $20 million on two guys like the Rays would do, he'll spend $40 million on three and hope two of them outperform their contract And then when they don't outperform the contract, you get last place finishes. I'd rather go with a guy who has a higher ceiling and spend 30. So even if he doesn't have a great year, you're still hopefully getting $20 million worth of production instead of two guys giving you $9 million worth of production apiece.
I know, but again, see, so my issue with that whole line of thinking, because I don't love the way the Red Sox do it either, is then it becomes a math equation. So it's about the value for the player more than it is actually winning the games. Lose the contract, win the World Series. Isn't that what you'd rather do? Why do you have to win the contract? Who gives a rat's ass? Just get the player that helps you win. And however it fits in your payroll, it fits. Let me take one quick call here because this guy wants Ohtani for MVP, which I deserve. So go ahead. Go ahead, Justin. What do you got?
So I caught the tail end of the Northeast bias, and you said Judge is clearly the MVP, blah, blah, blah. I got no horse in the race. I don't like the Red Sox. I don't like the Yankees. I don't like the Angels. I don't care. But to me, giving Ohtani the MVP last year, you're setting a precedent that pitching and hitting matters. And so what, Aaron Judge hits an extra, what, 10, 13 home runs than the usual league average, and that's supposed to make up for the fact that Ohtani is a top five pitcher in the league, top 10 in all of baseball, plus he hits? It's not close.
Okay, so
who would you rather have, Ohtani or Judge, this year?
Well, if I were building a team, I would rather have Ohtani. But let me ask you this. If you are, who has meant more to his team this year, Ohtani or Judge?
Well, the Angels sucked, but that's
exactly
Ohtani's fault.
Thank you. No, it's right. It's not his fault, but that's the way it goes. That to me, that's the MVP almost always comes from a winning team, except now in the modern analytics age where winning doesn't matter anymore. It's not about the winning. It's the worst part of like this whole analytics thing. It's not about the winning. You apply them on contracts. Well, we get good value on that deal. Well, yeah, but look at Ohtani. Look at what his WAR is. His team sucks, but he's good. Great, let's celebrate the individual. Let's not win the team sports anymore. That's a great idea. Excellent. Why even play the games? Just make the whole thing a skills competition. That's what all the Gen Zs want anyway. They eliminated the Pro Bowl. Not that that's a good example because that product sucks. But all you care about is the skills competitions. You don't actually care about the real competition. Adam Jones and Arcan coming up next. I've gone on too long. I got to fire up my ass tonight. I don't know why. Murray's got your headlines. We'll catch you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.